Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
You know, when I think you mentioned this last time, Keith, when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he must have been from the South, right? I mean, if your name's Jethro, I mean, that's just a good South Georgia, right, name. But he said, you're wearing yourself out doing ministry alone. You're wearing yourself out. And I can tell you this, guys, if you're really going to be in a close relationship with the Lord, you're going to have to find that private place like Jesus did. He had a certain place of prayer. You're going to have to be diligent in studying God's word to show yourself approved, but you're going to wear yourself out if you're going to try to walk in your relationship alone. So what did he say do? He said, find some men who what? Who fear God, who do life well, who love the Lord. So surround yourself with some men, right? Who love the Lord, who fear the Lord.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're doing on Wednesday nights, what we see other churches and other places doing, and what they really started doing was offering a gathering place for men where they could get together in a group. And they're not going to do life with all eight of those guys at the table, but they may find one in that table they can do life with. And that's where I think, what I say, we're not even doing discipleship when we come to these larger gatherings. We're just gathering, you know, giving us a chance to get connected where we can, you know, engage another man and hopefully, you know, build into each other's lives and build men from there. But, you know, when dads are on the same page and they're leading their families the same way, there's a little bit of power in that and a lot of power in that. So my son comes to somebody in our church, hopefully he's going to get the same answer he would get from me if he's got a question about a decision he needs to make. And, you know, hopefully the same counsel that would be given from that man would be the same counsel I would give, and vice versa.
But do you think we have sissified the church in a way that we have made it look to such a degree where we catered to the woman? And I'm not talking about making it masculine and camo and all that stuff, but I heard Joby Martin say the other day that, you know, he said, if I come home and my wife's in my t-shirt, she looks good. If I come home and my wife is in a dress, she looks good. He said, if I'm in my t-shirt, I look like I look. If I'm in a dress, I don't look very good. And he just basically was saying the church for so long has looked like a dress. It's just been wearing a dress where the women have led for so long is taking on the shape of lack of leaders. That's why Paul says, Titus, the first thing you do, you're not preaching yet. You're praying. But before you find a building, first thing you do when you get to Crete, find you some men that do life well. So I don't know. Do you think we made the church kind of from the songs we sing to the programs we run? Have we dumbed it down a little bit and kind of without even advertising it? You said find, you know, these men in this small group, this table group that they're connected to. We kind of say, man, we don't really want you here to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think in some ways we've probably done that. I mean, even when I pastored, I didn't know, you know, just when I was pastoring in South Georgia or even in out near Augusta, just, you know, in a lot of ways, I was discovering who I was as a man in the context of being a husband and a father and also a pastor at the same time. And that's very, very challenging. And so I needed men around me, and it almost like I was reaching for as many as I could to get around me to help me develop and grow. And, you know, most of the men I've ever had involved in my own life were men that were older than me. And so I've never really come to a church, you know, at least in my experience, outside of being a pastor, where there weren't men that I could connect to. Now, some of the peripheral things that are going on, I think, you know, probably men get bored with, they get frustrated with, and, you know, these guys are making multi-million dollar decisions. And some of these churches that they're involved in, they're making decisions, moving every single day. And, you know, there's a lot that they process, a lot they think through, and then maybe they get to church and it's like, okay, what am I doing here? They don't even need me. They don't even ask for my help. So, you know, you look at that around the culture and, you know, different settings and different places in America, I think there's some of the similar things that we're seeing there. You know, men are bored with the church and, you know, they're not using their gifts. I mean, some of these guys can run a company, but he can't serve in any role in the church because there's no place for him.
Crazy,
it's unbelievable. But we got him on the security team. And his wife's hurting, you know, at home. She's not being spiritually led. She's struggling through life, and he don't know what to do with her. But he's got a pistol, and he's watching the door, you know, but he's not watching over his wife. And, I mean, some of the things that we do, I think we need to really evaluate, put them on the table, and pray through these things. And maybe our structure needs to change. And maybe, I'm not saying burn the building down, but I am saying let's start building men and let these men be, you know, use their gifts and come alive in Christ. And
yeah.
And like Jesus did, he got those men where they were, and they didn't really change where they were. They just started walking with the Lord. And that's how the church really started. He used them that way. And he used them to start the church. And so Jesus used these men to start the church. I think we need men to keep the church alive.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The model's been laid out before us, right? And I would challenge our men that are listening who are pastors or leaders or lay leaders. I tell you, every table group leader we have on Wednesday nights is a lay leader. They come in dirty from work, and they're just passionate about leading men. And I can challenge you men on this, that you get a man who's serious about the Lord and serious about reaching men, and you'll see changes in your church. I'm not talking about just other men being raised up and leaders being raised up. I'm talking about financially. You'll see finances increase. You'll see evangelism increase. I mean, you're talking about unleashing men who will spend a third of their life in a workplace. Now, you're right, Keith. I'm for missions, evangelism, all those things, but you're sending groups of men to a larger mission field than you can ever organize in your church, right? You're sending 60 men on Wednesday nights to go into a place they're going to work a third of their life in. Don't tell me those men, you get the men, you get the win, won't have impact in their actual work areas. But you bring up a good point. So we're talking about helping men win, 10 lessons on biblical masculinity. And we had to start with the first one, a man's relationship with God. The second statement on those 10 lessons is a man's relationship with his family. We kind of touched on this a little bit, Keith, but tell me about a man's relationship and his family, or with his family, I should say.
You know, looking at the average man, and probably I'd be the one to be first in line, is that nothing exposes me more than being a husband and a father. There's tremendous needs there to lead my wife, to help her be all that God created her to be. And think about the relationship Jesus has with the bride, and he's always there, always listening, always loving, always leading. So he sets the standard for leadership in terms of a husband-wife relationship. And as the spiritual leader, and as he serves the bride of Christ, I mean, we ought to make the connection, especially we see in the New Testament how that connection is vividly clear and how powerful it can be. And, you know, one of the things I think that we underestimate is the missional component of a man and a wife, the marriage covenant, the oneness in that, and the impact it can have with unity and the impact it can have in a community. You know, if they work together as one, and, you know, not only in that marriage covenant, but also being parents, man, that's power there. And obviously Satan wants to take that away. And so if the man doesn't understand his role, he really can't be what she needs him to be. You know, if Jesus, let's say Jesus failed in being the spiritual leader of the church, or the what we need in the church, the bride's really going to suffer. And if we look at that in our own life, we really need to examine that to say, man, my wife, it's not where she needs to be. And it's probably not her fault. It's my fault. I haven't been able to understand my role real well and really live out from the spirit in that. And, you know, a lot of times when you talk about men's ministry, most of what we hear out there is in some ways is the pound of the flesh. You know, the flesh profits nothing. So going back to scripture, there's a total dependence upon Christ. There's a crucified life that's got to be, you know, experienced so we can have resurrection power in every opportunity as a husband and even as a father. So I think, you know, looking at the family, I mean, I think to me, that's one of the major opportunities in America today in the American church is to really focus on marriage and to focus on family, to, you know, what's it mean to be a godly parent, or what's it mean to shepherd your children well as a father? What's it mean to shepherd, you know, to raise a son and shepherd a daughter? What's all that look like? Well, who's teaching that? You know, I mean, really, churches in America, who's really teaching that? Maybe you get a series once a year. Well, if that family misses the series, they miss the whole thing and nothing else in between. So we're talking about all these other things rather than where people are living at. And, you know, and that's why I think sometimes they don't get the help they need. And, you know, sometimes they, even in the small groups, we're not set up to really help minister and serve. And, you know, some places I've been in the past, if you couldn't get a counseling meeting scheduled, you're probably going to see your marriage go away. You know, you're going to lose your marriage or your family because you couldn't get a scheduled meeting with the counselor. What about the body of Christ? You know, so we're not even equipped to take care of the saints and serve the saints. And part of that is the lack of spiritual leadership from the, from a biblical manner perspective.
And a lot of those counselors that I'm seeing, the secular counselors, the therapists, are some of those guys and ladies are booked up for years. You know, the world we're living in with the anxiety, depression, and the fast pacedness that we're living in, it's like have you ever tried to get into a specialist? Like I try to get into an ENT because here in the good state of Kentucky, we're right by the river here. So there's so much allergies, and I was struggling so bad with my allergies. And I said, I need to get into ENT. And I said, yeah, that'll be about 8 months from now. And so you relate that to trying to get into some of these counselors who are busy. But you're right. The body of Christ ought to suffer and weep and rejoice with each other and serve one another as a body does. When one hurts, we all hurt. But you're absolutely right, Keith. I found nothing in my life that exposes me like being a husband and father, because that's the private area of our house, right? Where nobody really sees. And if I see men more defeated in any area, it's typically they're defeated in their homes. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. And, you know, I'm attempting to do it right and still struggle. You know what I'm saying? I'm attempting to be the husband I want to be. And
it's hard.
My wife needs me to. It's just very, very hard. And if I don't have brothers in my life helping me process and get back on truth and not feel sorry for myself, and, you know, when I make a mistake, or, you know, parent in anger, or have a sharp word to my wife, I mean, good night. We're trying to do it right. We're in the church, and, you know, that's why I say we're doing all we can to do it right and still do it wrong. And and it hurts. It hurts them. And, you know, one of the major things we deal with as a ministry is the father when we try to bring that up, because we know that it's like an athlete who gets hurt. He can't give it all because there's pain there. He can't really give 110% like we're asking him to because of an injury. Well, father wound is very impactful, and unless that's reconciled and dealt with and forgiven and experiencing the brokenness, the privilege of brokenness in that, you're really going to struggle and not give what you can give, or be in, or be relentless, or whatever the word might be that is required of you as a man. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I think manhood is a privilege if we understand it biblically and we operate from it, you know, as Jesus did. He redeemed manhood. Adam reduces manhood. But as we see it that way, I think what God does with manhood, he pulls us up out of where we might want to stay in our flesh to a place without his help, we'll never get there. And to me, that's what really manhood is. It's where God's pulling us up out of ourself, out of our flesh, out of who we thought we could be, to a man that only he can make us. And that's what being a husband does. That's what being a father does. You know, we had never signed up for this because we're immediately going to fail. But he calls us up out of our manhood into these opportunities. And man, I think that's what manhood does. And so if we're not leveraging, you know, the privilege of getting up out of ourselves, out of our sin, out of our flesh, out of carnality, the others are going to feel the impact of that. I'm going to feel the impact of that. Yeah. So when you think about family, I think that's, to me, I would say again, just trying to circle back to this, to me, that's the greatest mission opportunity with the local church has today, is to reach families and to invest in families, to pour in marriage, just to pour into fatherhood and motherhood, and do that the best we've ever done anything. Let's see what God does with it. And I think we'll see a whole movement of God really just bring revival across the states of America.
Amen. Pray that happens.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments.
You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.